We now turn for our responsive reading to selection 63, taken from Psalm 121 and 122, found on page 655 of your hymnal. Again, let's hear the words of the Lord as we read responsively. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil, he shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. I was glad when they said unto me, Let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, Peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. May God bless that reading of his holy word. We turn for our scripture lesson this morning to the second chapter of the prophecy of Haggai. Haggai chapter 2, verses 1 to 19, found on page 974 of your pew Bible. And for the benefit of those who were not here 2 weeks ago when I was here with you last, and for our hearers, we began an exposition of this book. It's the second shortest book in the Old Testament, beaten in its shortness only by Obadiah. And we considered last time together the first chapter, and this morning and again this evening we shall consider this second and final chapter of this book. So let us hear the word of the Lord as it's found in Haggai chapter 2, verses 1 to 19. In the seventh month, in the 21st day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedek, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you, fear not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth, and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all the nations. And the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. In the 24th day of the 9th month, in the 2nd year of Darius, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Ask now the priests concerning the law, saying, If one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread or pottage or wine or oil or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priests answered and said, No. Then said Haggai, If one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priests answered and said, It shall be unclean. Then answered Haggai and said, So is this people, and so is this nation before me, saith the Lord. And so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean. And now I pray you, consider from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord, since those days were when one came to a heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to the press fat for to draw out 50 vessels out of the press, there were but 20. I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail in all the labors of your hands. Yet you turned not to me, saith the Lord. Consider now from this day and upward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree hath not brought forth. From this day will I bless you. May God bless that reading of his word. We come for the third time to the book of Haggai to consider together this important book of the Old Testament. And we've been considering this book under the title Lessons from Haggai's Day. In order to enable us to catch up with where we left off 2 weeks ago, we want to remind ourselves of the context of this book, and then also something of its content as we looked at it in the first chapter. You may recall that we are in the days of restoration, those days that followed upon Judah's return from exile. It was decreed by Cyrus that they could return to rebuild the temple. Of course, the importance of that was not so much the temple itself, as important as that was to the people of God in the Old Covenant era, but it was all that it symbolized of the presence of God with his people. And we noted how that they returned to the land, about 42,000 of them at least, and they began to rebuild the temple. They got so far as laying the foundation. But then Haggai was raised up by God to prophesy, and what we mean by to prophesy is both to foretell, but in the immediate sense to foretell the word of the Lord to them in their circumstances. Because it becomes apparent by a comparison of this book to the book of Ezra that for 16 years the people of God had done nothing to rebuild the temple. For certain reasons they had ceased building and had begun to invest upon their own domestic homes, preferring to invest in their homes than in the rebuilding of the temple. There were numerous reasons for their discouragement, some of which I mentioned last time, but the point I want to get to is this, that the Lord had come to them and had begun in his love to chasten them, and to chasten them gently in comparison to the exile which they had just come through. If you look at verse 6 of chapter 1, you have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but there is none warm. And he that earns wages to put into a bag with holes. And we find a similar explanation or depiction of the chastening found in chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. And we basically finished off that first sermon by reminding ourselves of the command that Haggai brings to the people. Verse 8 of chapter 1, Go up to the mountain and bring wood, build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Well, these are lessons that we're looking at from Haggai's day. And one of the things that we noted was that the temple, the analogy of the temple is drawn upon in a number of ways in the New Testament. But the most obvious application is not to the body of Christ. It's not to the Christian's body, the temple of the Holy Spirit. It is to the Church of Jesus Christ in this New Covenant era, which so often, sadly, requires rebuilding. And so we sought to apply the first 11 verses in the first session to the rebuilding of the Church of Christ today. But then we looked at the content of Haggai, and we noticed that in this book, this short book, are four prophecies which Haggai brings to the people in the year 520 BC. The first prophecy is found in the first 11 verses, but then, verses 12 to 15, there's a progress report on how they responded to this prophecy. Their response was hopeful. They responded quickly to the word of the Lord. These people teach us in verse 12 of chapter 1 our readiness to obey. That should be the disposition with which we come into the word of God, into the house of God. We do not come into the house of God to keep at bay the word of God. Rather, we come into the house of God to receive the word of God, to take it to heart, to go out from these doors and to understand by the enabling, the illumination of the Holy Spirit, how it is we are to apply personally the word of God that we've heard, so that we might be ready to obey it. But they were also ready to hear. Notice verse 13 of chapter 1. The Lord assures them, I am with you. This was a discouraged people. They needed to know that God was present with them. And we too need to know, as we rebuild the church, that the Lord is with us. We want to hear that. We need to hear it. It inspires us and stirs us to work for the glory of Christ in his church. And then thirdly, they were ready to act. Verse 14. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. Well, that brings us to the next portion that we're going to look at in this study, and this is chapter 2, verses 1 to 19. If the first chapter reminds us of the importance of rebuilding the church, these verses remind us that it's important how we build. And this passage we're looking at this morning, these 19 verses, can be divided into the second and third of the four prophecies that Haggai brings to the people of God. And the second prophecy, found in the first 9 verses of this chapter, prepare us for the third prophecy, which is found in verses 10 to 19, and that's how we're going to take them. Let's then look at the context of the third prophecy by looking at the second prophecy. Some weeks have passed, and once again, surprise, surprise, the people are discouraged. There were a number of reasons why they were discouraged, why they had put their tools down once more. And one of the reasons why was because of the amount of work that was to be done. After 16 years of no work on the temple site, it was obviously overgrown. It needed to be cleared away before they could start building up. And moreover, during that period of month, the Feast of Trumpets had taken place, the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles, and so every time they went to get down to the work, another feast came, legitimate in and of itself, and yet it delayed the work. And so each time they put their tools down, they found that it was more difficult to pick them up again. So Haggai comes to them with this second prophecy. Note the two elements in this prophecy. First of all, the analysis of their discouragement, verses 1 to 3. In the seventh month, in the 21st day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes, in comparison of it, as nothing? Haggai comes, and he speaks to all the assembly. But this one particular quarter of this assembly that he wants to speak to in particular. And that is the older section of the community. Now please don't misunderstand me this morning. The Bible is not ageist. Contrary to our culture, the Bible encourages us to esteem what in America you call senior adults. And we do that, and we do it gladly. But it is in the midst of the whole assembly that he speaks, and in a sense he rebukes the senior adults who saw this temple in its first glory. He says, verse 3, Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? In other words, he says to the senior adults numbered amongst the people of Judah, you have a great opportunity. You have a great opportunity either to encourage the community or to discourage the community. And what may well have been going on over the course of this month as they began to clear away the weeds to rebuild the temple was that the older generation were discouraging the younger generation, and the older generation were saying, well, you should have seen the first temple. Isn't that true today? Let me speak with respect and with esteem to the senior adults of our congregation here. You have it by the grace of the Lord Jesus in your power to use your final days here on earth either to encourage the rebuilding of the church or to discourage the rebuilding of the church. This is the message that Haggai brings to us today. And if Haggai was here this morning, he would say this to the senior adults. If you thought the first temple was so great, then tell me this one thing. Why is it in ruins? If it was so great, why do we have to rebuild it? And the reason was pretty evident to the people why they had to rebuild it, and that was because they put such a focus on the externalities of the temple that they forgot what the temple was all about. It was a representation of the power of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within the temple amongst the people of God. And you know, one of the challenges that may well face this congregation, it probably faces many congregations. And it's one of the temptations, one of the difficulties I observe of being a senior adult. That either you can say, oh, well, you should have seen the temple, the church in my day. Or you can say, well, that was my day, and this is the day. God uses the same principles, but he does a new work with old principles for each day and generation. And you can seek to build up the church of God. So let me respectfully put it to you this morning as senior adults. You have a choice this morning. Yes, we do believe in choice. You have a choice. Either you can encourage the rebuilding of the temple or you can discourage the rebuilding of the temple. But one thing is certain. There is nothing spread so quickly as discouragement. The temple. Yes, things were changing. Notice that God, to my knowledge, does not say to them, Now go and search out the original template of Solomon's temple and rebuild it. Because you need to do it exactly the way Solomon did. He doesn't say that. He says, you need to rebuild the temple, it's going to have a lot of continuity with the first temple, but it's not going to be the same temple. That was Solomon's temple. This is Zerubbabel's temple. And you know, there was a very valid theological reason for that. And it was this, that as the Church of Jesus Christ in the Old Covenant era marched on through history, so they were being prepared for the New Covenant era where they would reach a point of maturity. And so the closer they got to the hailing in of the New Covenant era, the less they were to rely on visible symbols. Because there was one coming who would tabernacle or temple amongst his people. And hence the original function of the tabernacle and the temple would be no more. Hence the reason why Zerubbabel's temple was not so grand as Solomon's temple. And so I want to say to you senior adults this morning, if, and time plays tricks on our minds, if things were so good in the old days when you were young, why does God call his people to keep on rebuilding? It's precisely because perhaps things were not as great as we sometimes think they were. Every generation needs to hear the word of the Lord for its own generation. Hence Haggai's analysis of the discouragement. But then notice verse 4, the antidote to the discouragement. Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedek, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. He repeats the command to work found in chapter 1, verse 8. And then he repeats the encouragement found in chapter 1 and verse 13. Two things go hand in hand. What do we do when the church needs rebuilding? Well, two things. We work. We don't just say, well, we'll wait for God to revive his church. No, we work. But as we work, we do so in reliance upon the promises of God that God will be with us as we work. You know, one of the reasons I think that God has not blessed the Western world with widespread revival, probably since the revival of 1904 in Wales, is because we've spent so much time saying, it'll all be right when God revives us. And God is saying to us all along, no, you work, and as you work, I will revive you. And we so relied upon an extraordinary working of the Holy Spirit that we've grieved the Holy Spirit by not relying upon his ordinary working to work day in, day out for the glory of God in his church. So Haggai calls them to utilize history on the one hand, verse 5, and to utilize theology on the other hand, verse 8. To rebuild the church. Well, what was the history? Well, verse 5. Rebuild according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. So my spirit remains among you. Don't fear. As God was with our forefathers, enabling them to do new things in their day and generation, so he will be with us. As God in days gone by possessed all the silver and all the gold, so he still possesses all the resources to rebuild and make of his church what he will. Well, this is the context to the third prophecy found in verses 10 to 11. Notice verse 10, another 2 months have gone by. In the 24th day of the 9th month in the 2nd year of Darius came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying. He comes with this third prophecy. And he comes with this third prophecy on an important day. Finally, they were getting down to the work. You will notice from verse 18 that this prophecy is given the day the foundation of the temple was relayed. And in the ancient Near East, it was common for the laying of foundations to be accompanied by oracles or words. and sacrifices. And it is this background which explains the character of the third prophecy. Note its three elements. First of all, note the command of the Lord, verse 11. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, ask now the priests concerning the law. Well, why was Haggai to ask the priests concerning the law? Well, it was given to the priests to know the law. In the book of the law, in the book of Leviticus, chapter 10, verse 11, we read that they were to teach the children of Israel all the statutes. The Lord spoke to them through Moses. But the important thing is here that when Haggai was to ask the priests, he was not to ask them for their opinions. He was asked to ask them, what does the law say? And the application for that is here today. Is in the rebuilding of the church. The word of God is so very central. And when you look for leadership in the rebuilding of the church, you don't look for the opinion of the minister or ministers or elders. You respect their opinion only to the degree that they can demonstrate that their opinion is settled and established four square upon the Word of God. They were the teachers of the law, the priests. And what Haggai is implying is that by the knowledge of the law, they were to best rebuild the temple. Remember, the temple was not an end in itself. The rebuilding of it was a test of obedience. The structure of it was a symbol of the presence of God. And so when we apply this to the contemporary scene, let's not fear that in rebuilding the church we are doing something new and fangled. The same principle is abiding. The word of the Lord is the means by which we rebuild the church. Secondly, we see here the law of the Lord, verses 12 to 14. He was to ask the priests concerning the law, if one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread or pottage or wine or oil or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priests answered and said, no. Then said Haggai, if one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priests answered and said, it shall be unclean. Well, what's going on here? Well, they're looking back at the law. And the details of the law. And the priests are telling Haggai what the law says. Well, what does the law say? Well, the law says, verse 12, that if you carried around holy flesh or meat that's been sanctified for the sacrifices, and the skirts of their robes, which was carrying the meat, touched bread, pottage, wine, or oil, or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priest said, no. Well, verse 13, if you touch a dead body, shall it be unclean? It shall be unclean. The principle that Haggai is bringing to bear here is this, that pollution of the work of the Lord is more contagious than the sanctification of it. That's why I said at the outset of this sermon that whereas chapter 1 deals with the importance of building up the work, chapter 2 deals with the importance of how we do it. In other words, he's saying to the community of God's people, there's nothing sanctified or holy in actually doing the rebuilding. You don't become holy that way. You become holy by seeking the Lord for forgiveness and asking him for the gift of repentance. But it's possible, as we come to the work of the Lord, to pollute the work of the Lord because we do it with unholy hearts and unholy hands.
And so he wants the people of Judah to understand that while it's important for them to get back to work and they've just rebuilt the foundation of the temple, they need to do it in the right spirit and they need to do it for the right reasons and for the glory of their God. Because while the building itself will not make them holy, it is certain that there can be things in their lives that can make the actual work polluted. And so what Haggai says to us this morning, that as we seek to rebuild the church, it's important that we rebuild the church, but it's important also the spirit with which we do it. To put it in modern parlance, the church not only needs reformation, it needs revival. You see, as Reformed Christians, that's what the title on the church says, and that's what we profess to be. And what we mean by that is not that we reform and then the work is done, but that we always go on reforming. That's what our reformers taught us. And we go on reforming according to the Word of God. And I firmly believe in that, that the Reformed community needs reformed as much as any other aspect or quarter of the Church of Jesus Christ. But having said that, and again I speak to myself, it's not sufficient for us to so focus on reformation and the reforming of the church that we leave out the reviving of the church. That as we work towards the rebuilding of the church, yes, we have to be very practical to get down to the details of what it actually means. What's the point of getting all the details right if the heart is wrong? And Haggai knew that. They had become discouraged precisely because their hearts were not right with the Lord. And so thirdly and finally then we come on to verses 15 to 19. Lessons from the Lord. The lesson's pretty simple. Three times he tells them to consider once again. But whereas in chapter 1 he said, consider this. The harvests have failed, your wages have failed, because I'm chastening you. He now draws a comparison and he says, look to the past and now look to the future. Well, what is past? Verses 15 to 17. And now I pray you consider from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord, since those days were when one came to an heap of 20 measures there were but 10, but when one came to the press fat for to draw out 50 vessels out of the press, there were but 20. I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail in all the labors of your hands, yet you turned not to me, saith the Lord. He's reminding them again of the gentle way in which he sought to remind them that instead of investing in their own homes, they should have been rebuilding the temple. But now, unlike before in chapter 1, he goes on to say something else. They've rebuilt the foundation of the temple, and this is the blessing and encouragement of the Lord. Verses 18 to 19, consider now from this day and upward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, is yet the vine? And the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree hath not brought forth? From this day I will bless you. And the amazing thing about that is this. That God does not wait for the temple to be finished according to all the decrees that he gives about the rebuilding of this temple. It's the mere process of beginning and getting the work done that the Lord spontaneously comes and says, I will bless you. You know, we have a choice this morning as God's people. Either we can stand back and say, God will revive his church, it's his work. Or we can say, no, the word of the Lord comes to me this morning and says, no, we have a responsibility upon us to rebuild the church. And what Haggai says to us this morning, that it is as we rebuild, as we redo the foundations, as we build up the temple, as we are commanded by the Lord, that the Lord comes to us. And he says, I will bless you. In other words, it's as we reform the church of Christ according to the word of God that God blesses his people. May God bless these thoughts. And may you, as the people of Judah, attest whether what has been said this morning is according to the word. If it is not, you have no obligation to receive it. But if it is, then you do. May God give us all illumination and help and submission to be under the word of God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word and for its ongoing relevance, and we pray, Father, for the help of your Holy Spirit to receive this sermon as and when it accords with your word. Dismiss from our minds, we pray, anything that is not found therein. But help us, Father, to be like those Berean Christians of old, to search the scriptures to see whether these things are so. So plant your word in our hearts, we pray, that we would not sin against you, and grant us the grace to contribute in this day and age to the rebuilding of your church. For the glory of your name, we pray. Amen.